Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and for the love of God, I do not care, PewDiePie. I'm not going to download the internet browser that you're freaking shilling for. Stop it, YouTube. And with me, I have...
So when are we going to hear from Boozy about Mr. Montero's appearance on the Maury show? You know what's going to happen.
And...
Apparently, Stevie Aoki has a remix of Tank, and oh no, that's not a good sign.
You're kidding, right?
It's real. Like,
you couldn't have lied and said you were kidding. Just lie for my own peace of mind.
You know what, Rob? You know what? It was all a dream. It's all a dream, and right now, this would be a dragon coming to get a baby. Come to your house, and apparently you have a sword. He ran he won a boar's head just to fight.
I'm definitely not wearing that head right now. No, seriously, I'm not. Do I look like I'm that stupid? I mean, I have yet to fight the train.
Okay.
Yet.
Okay. Okay. I'll be honest for a second. Like, well, so, like, what were you with the effort? You know, at first I thought, I had to get it first, but okay. I don't know why. I don't know why not put you both as in no skate.
Like I said, I'm still waiting to fight the train. But, anyways, here we are, episode 247, so, how's everyone's week been going?
Not great. Hence why this show has been pushed back a couple days. Because, did you know that wisdom teeth are evil?
Don't remind me. My dentist has been telling me to get those things pulled for, like, years now.
They are evil and not foofy.
Yeah, and one of mine decided the other day, you know what? It's time for me to head out of here. And it took the one right next to it with it and caused an infection to build up. Fun!
Like.
So I am currently on a pretty heavy medication dosage of amoxicillin and painkillers for the next week to get it cleared up. Then I have to get these teeth pulled.
Ow.
And... I wouldn't be so miffed about it if the place I went to, like a dental clinic, if the guy wasn't so blunt and just off-putting about the whole thing. Like, I know my teeth are messed up. I have a birth defect that came with my teeth. I didn't want it to be like this, but it just is. I know I have a whole lot of work that has to get done on it. I could have used some words of encouragement instead of just telling me... Well, you're screwed. Get out.
Yikes.
I know you this. Are God. I'm taking my services elsewhere from now on, but, yeah. Not fun. Hopefully I can get this taken care of before I go to California, because I don't want to deal with this. And I would very much like to eat solid foods again. I've lost, like, 7 pounds in the last 4 days.
I see.
Yeah, not fun when you can only eat certain stuff because your teeth might explode at any moment, but whatever. In lighter news, though, I got my car taken care of, finally, after dealing with a large estimate that I've been sitting on from another place. I took it to another place, and they said, yeah, we could do that and a little bit more, and it'll cost you a little bit less. So, yay! At least mechanics are nicer to me than dentists. I'm happy for that.
I see. Yeah, that sounds like a shit week.
Yeah.
It sounds like
not
shite.
It's been fun. Right before Thanksgiving, too. That's doubly suck.
Yeah. Hopefully things improve soon. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Let's see, this week I work more than usual, because I figure like Tuesday I work because, well, I said I need to come in for the money anyway. That in effect, I've been off too many days, and work today because somebody else called in. Somebody else had got the appointment, so I took in, which I thought, you know what, fuck it, I'll take it. You know, I think I need the money anyway. I mean, plus been off Tuesday, Thursday, like the last couple weeks anyway. So fuck it, why not? I'll take it. It's like I don't want to, but I kind of need to. It's that sort of thing. It's like you know what? You know, your money's kind of put right now. So yeah, there's that. And of course, another week of going to the doctor again because apparently every Tuesday this November I go to the doctor for a reason. And again, and again next week because fuck it. Oh, and in lighter news, I finally checked out Shang-Chi on Disney Plus, which is it's pretty good, pretty good. Like, you know, it's pretty good. Basically, your usual, you know, but not usual, but more like, you know, like a, you know, dip, you know, it's a good Marvel movie. Is what I'm saying. And of course, it goes a Peck song. Wow, 600 was released the same day. That makes it also good. Oh, and of course, one more thing is the, you know, Adult Swim Festival thing that, you know, that happened, you know, last weekend. All I gotta say is this. Listen to Final Lotus and cover in the competition set. You'll thank me later. I mean, I know you will, but yeah, you'll thank me later.
That is true. Anyway, as for me, not much happened aside from, well, I had an exam, which kept me running late for recording this week, and just miscellaneous other things, but, other than that, just a normal week, and if I'm gonna recommend a set to watch from the Adult Swim Festival, check out The Armed, to see how it melds into the Armed cinematic universe. Now, with those intro stuff out of the way, we're going to move on to the usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes for your various playlists and schedule some albums for the potential future. First up, hey Mark, can you tell us what's going on with Clams Casino? I feel like we haven't heard from him in a while.
Mr. Clams got a project out there. Actually out now, like, it just came out like yesterday, apparently, because I don't know, because it was a game, we weren't late, but the thing today is called Water Fiend 2. Yes, Water Fiend 2. One's in there somewhere, it's a you know, Clams instrumental, and it's something like space, like, you know, it sounds very ambient and vibey, and like it's kind of very ethereal over itself. Like, all right, I see. With Clams recently, just doing a whole bunch of these tracks, and what I get from it, it's all good for my government.
Yeah, pretty good sounding song. You know, definitely a water theme. I don't know, maybe this is like that thing with that movie Zombie 2 in Europe. Just weird titling conventions. And chronological confusion. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, it's been a while since we've heard any sort of one-off thing from Coheed and Cambria. I think last time we talked about them was that really weird Jesse's Girl sequel. I think that's what that was, unless it was another song in between. But, we have a new single from them here called Rise Nainasha, Cut the Cord, parentheses. Lyrically speaking, it is apparently not a song about Coheed and Cambria encouraging you to switch from cable to streaming services. I know, it shocked me too. But for the most part, the song sticks to this very steady tempo, kind of mid-tempo 6-8 groove, or triple 4-4, however you measure it. With the drums occasionally half-timing the rhythm and full-timing it and all that, the production is fairly crisp and solid. The song is, melodically at least, on the brighter end of Coheed and Cambria tunes. And it's all optimistic and stuff with some really awkward sounding attempts at key changes partway through. And the lyrics are the usual indecipherable sci-fi spiel. Again, you know what to expect from Coheed at this point. And there is a brief bit of a heavier passage closer towards the end. But it's pretty much over as soon as you know it's like, oh, hey, there's Heavy. Oh, wait, Heavy is gone. It's fine, I guess. It's nothing special.
Yeah, I don't know what else to call this other than baseline generic. It's just got nothing really special to it besides this music video apparently made in Unreal Engine 4.
Seriously?
That's what it looks like. It has that same smoothed out texture that you're seeing in like the Grand Theft Auto remasters that look like ass.
Oh god.
That is ass and a half.
Oh god. Watch all those clips of all them glitches. In that one scene, you're CJ and Sweet try to, and I was like, this is all your beard, and then just runs them over like, holy shit.
All you had to do was do a proper remaster of the game, CJ!
Man, remember when it was just a rumor that people were optimistic about? It was a more innocent time. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So speaking of Adult Swim shenanigans, since we were shouting out the festival and everything, we have the newest entry in the 2021 Adult Swim Singles Program. Song number 31, courtesy of frequent feature More Mother. The track here is called Afro Pig Eve, and it features guest vocals from a rapper named, and let me see if I can use the parlance of the internet here, Beans, what the fuck? see, Mark gets it.
Speaking Beans!
Goddamn Beans. Man, now I want some Beans. But anyway, the song itself, More Mother, pretty much dominates the first half of it. It's a brief 2.5 minute thing, and it's what you would expect, this very dreamy, warped, synthetic, hazy beat, with her lyrics being that usual kind of, you know, poetic, abstract stream of conscious. And then Beans comes in, and his beat has more of this, you know, kind of laid-back lounge jazz vibe, and his lyrics are a very similar stream of conscious, where words and punchlines just kind of like flow into one another. It's a pretty interesting sort of song. I again, do not ask me what any of this is supposed to mean. I'm still not smart enough to decipher any of that.
So yeah, like I know about the beat switch coming in and a half with with beans taking over. But yeah, the checks were solid.
Yep. Moving on to the next track here, though. Speaking of, Adult Swim features and all that stuff, there's a new one-off single here from Code Orange. Goody.
Oh, it's fun time again.
Oh, man. So, our latest slab of cringe that Pitchfork nerds will cream themselves over is called Out for Blood. And anybody else think that the drum beat sounds like The Prodigy? Specifically the one that marks like the pre-verse sections of the song? I don't know, just that overly synthetic part. And now I think about it, the drums throughout the whole song production-wise sound kind of weird. It's like if Saint Anger had a bit more crack in the snare, but not by much. I don't know, that's just what it hit like to me. And as with a lot of their output nowadays, like, the song has this very patchwork construction to it where a lot of the time it just, like, fragments into all sorts of tangents. Oftentimes you can tell because the production will, like, switch up in various obvious ways. Like, you have the mic check shotgun intro thing. You have the synthetic glitches that the song dips into, bouncing back and forth between those synthetic drums and the hulking radio metal drum grooves. Then you, of course, have, like, all the vocals and shit, which kind of sound like they increase and decrease in volume at just the weirdest intervals. And then that fucking glam rock guitar solo section all fused into this really hokey, cringe-inducing attempt at what feels like their most radio metal-esque single yet, but still, it's just a patchwork mess that, again, I actually think I've seen, like, some pockets of Code Orange's fandom kind of turning on them now, and now I'm just here like, where the hell were you then? They were always this bad. Get on my level.
So, apparently, this is what it's like when worlds collide. That's the vibe I got from this song. Very Power Man 5000 in parts. And I'm not alone in that either. And other than that, well, hey, I'm happy for Max Portnoy for his new gig as their drummer. And that guitar solo from Reba, it's solid. But, you know, I think it's the vocals. They just aren't great for this sound. I don't know what it is. Maybe the guy's just trying too hard.
I'm not sure anything is great for this sound, other than for it to not exist. But anyway, let's at least get to some new metal that's at least boring bad instead of frustratingly annoying. Gentlemen, behold Korn! You're not falling for this, are you?
Nope.
Come on, Steve. Anyway, so we have a Korn single here. They're ramping up for a new album that's coming out February 2nd, 2022, called Requiem. And the single here is called Start the Healing. And, I mean, it's what you expect from, like, modern era Korn at this point. It's very slow and plodding with detuned bass-heavy string grooves, whether that's the actual bass or, like, the low, chugging, syncopated guitars. Jonathan Davis, like, you know, moaning, shouting, screaming the way you're used to at this point, evoking the usual nu metal blend of, like, menace and melancholy and all that. There's a brief bit of a melodic break here and there, but it's mostly just, you know, typical Korn sludge at this point. It's not different at all, is it, Steve?
Oh. Okay, well, I really liked the Nothing when that album dropped. This is giving me some modern metal vibes in the more, this is what every current band on Octane sounds like variety, and that's not good. And I really hope that this is just an outlier and not what to expect on the whole album.
I don't know, man. If I'm listening to this album, it's pretty much out of obligation. But time to move on to the next track here. So, a while back, we talked about Avril Lavigne having, you know, a guest spot on that Willow Smith album. Well, specifically on the Roundup, because that was on the album, and I mistakenly included it during a recording segment. But that segment is lost. No one has to truly know what my failures are. Editor privileges. But, yeah, turns out she's now gearing up to release a new solo album. We don't really have a title for the album or even a release date other than, I would assume, 2022. But we have the new single here, Bite Me, which is apparently coming out on Travis Barker's record label and features Barker himself.
Oh, so that's why he's on there.
This is, once again, your reminder that there are other fucking drummers in the world, even just in the realm of pop punk. But whatever. So, this is, I mean, it doesn't sound too different from what I'd expect from Avril Lavigne. It's the typical pop punk spiel. It's a lyrical diss aimed at, you know, an ex-lover that wronged her severely, busting his balls and all that. It has those arpeggiated clean guitar melodies to the verses, with that, you know, big sounding chorus segment, and it sounds angry enough by Avril Lavigne standards, I suppose. Again, it depends on, if you've been with her since the beginning, you'll probably like this, but me, it's just okay.
Well, I see we are now in the Hollaback Girl phase of her career, trying to harken back to those early days, only trading in The Matrix with Travis Barker, and yeah, this is just kind of baseline as well. That opening line is just all kinds of no, though. It's just, listen to this. You should have known better to fuck with someone like me. Forever and ever, you're going to wish I was your wifey. No. No, Avril Lavigne. No.
No.
You're not a 20-something girl anymore. You are above this. Why you collaborate with Marshmello of all people for this project?
Oh, wait. That's the other what? Guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Oh, God. Just, God damn it. But yeah, it is what it is. Anyway, speaking of it is what it is, and honestly, I'm not entirely sure why. Seriously, more Rick Ross? Didn't we have Rick Ross not too long ago?
Yes, apparently Rick Ross has a new album coming out December 10th. And they gave me coming this shit. Titled, Richer Than I Ever Been, which... this fucking album cover. Look at this fucking album cover, like... What the fuck are you wearing? You look like one of those grandmas about to go to church. They go to church with the gloves and the hat and the ring. Like he put the both the boots.
Oh
shit,
God,
like,
I'm starting to think of like Sugar Mama from the Proud Family. God damn it.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, this new chick he got out here is called Outlaws, which features Jasmine Sullivan and 21 Savage.
Coming from his role in the hit horror film Spiral from the Book of Saw. I actually don't know anyone who saw that movie.
And I heard mixed things about it, but yeah, that's all it is. And, you know, I'm going to quote what says on Genius, an annotation. It says, in typical Rick Ross fashion, he raps about how this dreary lifestyle and how he's been in the game for so long, which is basically almost every other Rick Ross track. So there's that. I will say for the hooks, Janet Sullivan, she does it well on the hook. She sings well on the hook, and it's interesting here, 21 Savage rap on a beat that's not trap-like because like this is like if I could say one good thing about Rick Ross. And I've said some good things about Rick Ross, at least on features, that he can choose, like, very, you know, very luxurious production. Like, he'll choose shit that sounds very, very lavish. Like, I can get him on that. But yeah, but topic-wise, it's what you expect from, Rick Ross. You know, maybe luxurious lifestyle, loyalty, all that shit. It's basically, it's pretty typical from what I heard from him. It's like, eh.
I do not have any emotional investment in Rick Ross at all, so I'm not even sure why I made myself listen to this, other than, you know, for the sake of being thorough. But, whatever. Anyway, moving on to the next track here, and since I made a allusion to, you know, a movie that streamed on HBO Max... So, this Friday, there's a movie dropping on the service called King Richard, a biographical drama about the father of the Williams sisters, those being the famous tennis prodigies that we all know and love, with Will Smith, of course, playing that title role. And we have a song here for the soundtrack. I'm not sure if she's doing the whole soundtrack proper or just one song, but yeah, we got a track here from Beyoncé. It's called Be Alive, and, I mean, it sounds like what you'd expect, given what I assume the context and presentation of the film is going to be. It's very triumphant and encouraging, conveying the perspective of a father that's, like, proud and rooting for their children's success and all that. It sounds fine, I suppose. I'm assuming this is, like, end credits filler, but it's fine for what it is.
Yeah, you can hear the song does what the song does. The song does like it's you know it's basically you know that the inspirational song. Which, all right, I get it. Still, all right, it's pretty all right.
All right, and moving on to the last song on the list here. Hey, look at that! We have another guest feature from The Weeknd.
Wow, he just they were just saying like, hey, yo, Abel, can you? Could be on this track, please. Like, okay.
I guess he must have a lot of free time. First it was Post Malone, and this time it's Rosalia. In fact, this is the lead single from the newly announced studio album by Rosalia called Motomami, coming out. I didn't find a hard date, but it said it's coming out sometime in 2022. So you can anticipate the possibility of a yellow flannel review from Mr. Anthony Fantano. Anyway, the track here is called La Fama. And let me tell you that it starts off on a good note right away, because the music video starts off with Rosalia being hyped up by none other than Danny motherfucking Trejo. And isn't that just the dream right there? Don't we all wish Danny Trejo was our hype man?
Uh-huh.
But getting sweet into the song itself, I mean, okay, the instrumental is as typically reggaeton as I think you could establish. Like, I'm at least 95% confident I heard this exact instrumental at a family gathering, like, when I was 10 at my grandma's house. There was really good lechon. I didn't eat the yams, though. No, wait, that was the yuca. I like yuca when it's fried. Sorry, I'm going on a tangent here. But, yeah, that's just what it is. Like, it's as typical of that style as you can get. Take from me, someone who grew up listening to a lot of it, not of my own volition. She does sound great on, you know, the song, though. If nothing else, she is a fantastic vocal performer. And then you have The Weeknd singing in Spanish, which, not gonna lie, it's kind of weird. And I didn't entirely look up what he was singing about. But, you know, he sounds like he usually does on it. It sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I'm guessing the way music goes, I'm guessing from Rosalia's point. I didn't look at the lyrics of this because I know. I'm from the video. It's basically like her on stage, like going to The Weeknd, who looks just dressed all bummy and shit, and he goes up stage and he's like he got fucking stabbed for some reason. Like, while singing, it was like, This is kind of weird. It's interesting. This thing, and of course, video ends with a credit that says, "By Director X."
Yeah.
Oh, him again.
Yes, Mr. Julian Christian Phelps, I believe is real fucking name. Yes, but nobody's videos for like Hotline Bling. And the Superfly remake that I keep bringing up because for some reason I just like doing that shit.
Yeah. It is what it is. But look, no one else remembers that movie except for us because we're weird like that. But yeah, that pretty much about does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have the news. So stay tuned. We're back. So we have a few news topics to discuss here, but first of these requires this to turn into what the fuck is wrong with you for a brief second. And that means we have to queue up the Patsy Cline. I said queue up the Patsy Cline. You know what, future me? I'm getting really sick of your shit. If you don't put that clip in right the fuck now, we'll deal with that later. But, yeah, so apparently Welcome to Rockville was this past weekend. I completely forgot because my ability to process linear time these days is fucked beyond recognition. So much so that I was completely surprised that the Cowboy Bebop Netflix series was this weekend. Or this week. You know, until I heard all the bitching online. I was like, oh shit, I thought that was December. But anyway. So, there was a performance at Welcome to Rockville by some group called Brass Against, and apparently it was getting a lot of people talking. Why, you might ask? Well, apparently the group's front woman, well, first off, a description of the band, they're, you know, a brass-oriented group that apparently does very brass-heavy versions of songs from the likes of bands like Tool, Rage Against the Machine, Soundgarden, Black Sabbath, and many others, and have earned approval from the likes of Tom Morello, apparently. And, well, they performed at this festival, and there was a point where an eager fan, wearing a GoPro on their head, apparently, but it seemed to have got lost in the shuffle, decided to get on stage and, well, long story short, the group's front woman, Sophia Urista, oh my god, that name, that fucking name. She apparently decided to urinate on his face on stage. That makes the name Urista so much worse.
Okay. We're not going to kink shame, but if you have to go, do it in the back where nobody needs to see it.
Don't broadcast your kinks on stage in front of everyone. Like, okay, fine, sure. This technically falls into the hypothetical scenario that Riley Freeman was talking about during the R. Kelly episode of The Boondocks. You know, where the guy was in the way of pee, but he obviously enjoyed it, so I guess it was consensual, technically. Between the two of them, though, not everyone in the crowd watching.
Yeah. They consent. Yeah, we did not. Like, we didn't watch the. It's like you know, that fine. That's cool. That's cool. You can do that, but when everybody's watching. No.
I was just trying to enjoy my festival, man, and then all this shit happened. I have to imagine that's going to be an interesting story that anybody in attendance is going to tell their friends, but.
So I guess you were right about Daytona after all.
I don't want to be right about these things, but it's Daytona. Ooh. What were you expecting?
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. And as an update to this, apparently NASCAR, who, oversees, Daytona International Speedway, where the festival was held, and along with a lot of other racetracks and venues, have bans a ban from future performances at any of their venues.
Shock level none.
And apparently there was a police report filed because Florida Statute 800.03 says it is unlawful for someone to, quote, expose his or her sexual organs in a public or on the private premises of another or so near thereto as to be seen from such private premises in a vulgar or indecent manner, punishable by up to a year in jail or a $1,000 fine.
Yeah. And the band says, well, supposedly in the moment they apologized and said it was very unexpected, only for later on to also tweet, Sophia got carried away. That's not something the rest of us expected. And it's not something you'll see again at our live shows. Thanks for bringing it last night, Daytona. Which seems like, just trying to cover their ass. Just, like, I'm not sure I even want to know what motivates someone to do that in the moment. But, congratulations. I hope it was worth the publicity. I mean, technically, it's the first time I ever heard their names before. And it'll probably be the last. Anyway, moving out of What the Fuck is Wrong with You territory. Oh, hey, look at the time.
Oh,
what
looky.
Time is it?
It's Griselda O'Clock. Oh, boy. So, so in recent years, I talked about the group. I talked about how, most individual labels are signed to a label, like... Well, like, okay, I remember saying Westside Gunn was signed to Shady, but left. Conway still signed to Shady, although he released that album yet. Now, what are you thinking? What about Benny the Butcher? Who's he signed with?
What about Benny the Butcher?
Yeah, well, apparently, recently, he signed with the label Def Jam. Oh, wow.
Oh.
Okay. He corrected himself on Instagram on Friday to show the photo of himself with the contract and the pen in hand, which he stated, "A Buffalo nigga in the face of the legendary Def Jam Records. Sign my deal finally." And apparently, do you know apparently who helped with that, by the way? Apparently? Snoop Dogg.
Seriously?
Yeah, apparently he dropped the news during his interview on the shit. On the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. Okay.
Yes. Joe Rogan, professional sucker of his own dick, apparently.
Yeah.
And not just metaphorically, literally, too. Because we needed to know that.
An accredited medical official to Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers.
Anyway, as Lou said, he said, in quote, "Monte Records, right? I'm creative consultant executive, and just to let you know that it don't exist no more, I'm going to announce your show that I signed Being the Butcher. He's one of the hardest rappers out of Buffalo, New York. So there's a moment to be crossed. We know what we're supposed to be doing. The Butcher coming. And I have to say, yeah, good on Snoop, because I think Def Jam needs him. Because we know something about how Def Jam is a very big legendary label, has the biggest names in hip hop on there. Like you got people out there like Jay-Z, DMX, Method Man, LL Cool J, all those rappers in there. You think of Def Jam when you hear that. Nowadays, not so much. I mean, there's still some rappers there, like I know Nas had a Def Jam. Most people on good music like Pusha T and Big Sean and 2 Chainz, YG, but it ain't exactly as the label you used to know. I mean, I know you have ex like Alicia Cara signed there and Justin Bieber. Yeah, keep getting these. He signed a Def Jam. Just looking hope. And of course, I bitched about that. Of course, I bitched about that fucking Blade Runner Black Lotus soundtrack, which.
Oh yeah, featuring X Ambassadors and G Easy and Walk Off the Earth. How fun!
All that's more Def Jam and Akon Sleeping Giant. But yeah, that's. Def Jam getting Bane the Butcher, which I mean, if he's gonna get more exposure, that's good for Benny, like good for Benny, and I just hope they don't fuck with his flow is what I'm saying, or hopefully, yeah. or basically. Hope to do a better deal with him than, well, Eminem did with Westside and, I guess, Conway. I mean, because, as I said, Westside left Shady. Conway's still trying to get that album out, which he's been saying for months. But, yeah.
Yeah. But with that covered, it's time for the last major topic, which is unfortunately yet more updates to the fallout from the 2021 Astroworld Fest crowd surge. And might as well get the worst of it out of the way. Last we spoke, the casualty count was up to 8. It has now climbed up to 10. The 9th reported death being a 22-year-old named Barti Shahani, who was admitted to the hospital shortly afterwards and passed away earlier this week last week, Wednesday. And then, of course, the worst of it being Ezra Blount, who was 9 years old.
Oh, boy.
You will not be surprised to learn that, as we previously mentioned, there were several class action lawsuits floating around. The most recent specific detail given being that there's one filed on behalf of 125 victims seeking about $750 million in damages. from pretty much damn near every party involved. It was filed by Houston attorney Tony Busby. And the people named, you know, the parties involved, of course, include Travis Scott himself, guest performer Drake, several of the promoters, specifically Live Nation and Score More Shows, some of the security firms involved, specifically Contemporary Services Corp., Apex Security, and Val Security Texas. By the way, just to reconfirm, it was in fact confirmed by the police that the whole officer passing out from getting injected in the neck was in fact full of shit. Once again, cops lie. But you didn't need me to tell you that. Of course, Paradox as well, the firm contracted to provide medical services as the festival, are also implicated in the lawsuit. As well as, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised that their name got implicated eventually, Apple. Because remember, they live streamed all of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have video evidence to use in whatever courts they're deliberating all this on. This is only going to get worse.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And speaking of worse, I do want to touch on one thing that came up. Well, first off, apparently Travis Scott and Drake fucked off to their own personal bullshit, not aware of the tragedies. Travis Scott going to Dave & Buster's and Drake hitting up a strip club. Surprise there. But we mentioned that they were supposedly doing quote-unquote good things by putting financial resources towards funeral services and even therapy for the survivors of the incident. But there was a bit of a kerfuffle. See, first off, the fact that Travis Scott presented it as he was partnering with an association called BetterHelp to provide 1 month of free therapy to everyone affected by the tragedy, which, you know, way to take a tragic event and turn it into what's basically a YouTube promotion. Like a YouTube sponsorship, basically. It's like someone like Logan Paul monetizing an apology video. You just see the Raid Shadow Legends in the corner. But I bring this up because there was actually some other further murmurings throughout the internet about BetterHelp in specific. In particular, I want to point out something I saw posted on Twitter as well as TikTok from someone called Therapy Den, that being a domain name belonging to a website that specializes in providing mental health services for, you know, marginalized individuals, POC, LGBT community, all that business. They mentioned that they, in particular, had received an email opportunity sponsorship once from BetterHelp in specific, offering them money to, you know, put up their own therapists on that website. But Therapy Den, looking into it further, found a whole bunch of shady shit. Perhaps most notably, much like so many websites these days, BetterHelp has a bad habit of trying to sell their data to advertisers. Tell me why this sounds familiar. Just pick from the list. What fucking website hasn't done this shit eventually? And the fact that they might have been, you know, getting financial, or at least either them or Scott could have been getting financial kickbacks from this partnership, as Therapy Den also, you know, dug around and pointed out a similar financial offering to a different sort of therapeutic outlet. I forget the exact number, but I'm pretty sure it was a lot of money that was being made there to, you know, plant their shit there. Now, to be fair, Therapy Den did do a follow-up post where after they emailed BetterHelp about the partnership, BetterHelp responded by saying that apparently I don't think Travis Scott was making any money from this partnership, or at least BetterHelp wasn't. But again, that could just be the company lying and trying to save face. I mean, did you see the Activision statement today?
Shit
like that. Oh, and just as a quick aside, just as like an anecdote, I actually brought up all the Astral World stuff in a Discord server I'm in, just kind of like venting, because as you can imagine, having to think or talk about this shit is very unpleasant and bums all of us out. It's just horrifying, but unfortunately, it's highly, highly important and should not be ignored. So I even brought up the BetterHelp thing in specific, and a friend of mine actually confirmed that they had used BetterHelp, and I want to quote a message they posted, you know, in the server, saying something like, oh no, yeah, BetterHelp is shady AF. They don't pay their therapists. There's other scams going on. Some info sharing stuff where it's in their terms and conditions. They can share and sell your info. I'm very aware. So, yeah, there's at least, I can at least point to some kind of anecdote from someone that's had to use their services before. Because apparently where they live, it's hard to find any other, like, satisfactory mental health options. So, yeah, shit is, again, even more fucked. The escalation of the fallout grows further and further. And this is still likely going to end very, very badly in the long term.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure what else can be said about it until we hear more.
Yeah, there's nothing more you can say except that damn again.
Yeah. Since pretty much every entity involved is, you know, on the receiving end of a lawsuit, there's just going to be this whole, like, just domino effect throughout everything else, from concert security to medical services to, of course, the promoters. Again, screwing over an industry that's pretty much already up shit creek without a paddle due to the last couple years or so. Ugh. Fucking hell. But that pretty much covers all we can talk about for now. So that covers the news, and from there we move on to the last little thing we need to talk about. That being, of course, touching on the new album releases for the week of November 19th, 2021. So probably by the time you're all listening to this. So starting right at the top, we have the newest album from thrash metal veterans Exodus with Persona Non Grata. The newest album from technical death metalers Obscura with A Valediction. The collaborative album between Converge and Chelsea Wolf with Blood Moon 1. A new EP from the band Thank You Scientist. There's a name I haven't thought about in a couple years. With Plague Accommodations. There's apparently a new EP coming soon from Catronata called Intimidated. And all that's probably not going to matter to you because, of course, Adele is dropping her new album 30 this Friday. And that is going to swallow up literally everything around it. We already mentioned how it's swallowing up the fucking vinyl industry. Alright, so with that out of the way, it's about time to clean house.
Alright, you can find me on my site, I might have one at www.wordpress.com. I should do a review of, Reserve Person of Blade Runner, Black Lotus soon, yeah.
Alright, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure, I talk about my favorite sports teams, and breaking news, Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes have broken up. Who's shocked? Not me.
It's the Shit Givers. Yep, that's not me. As for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me at robert@superresolution.com for, you know, questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up over the weekend on the YouTube channel, so subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever new stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Surreal Rezo, like us on Facebook, visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good content. Be sure to also jump into our Discord server while you're over there. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with, oh, shit, right, the Grammys is next week. The award presentation, the nomination announcements, at least.
Fun.
So, yeah, look forward to that, people. And until next time, have I mentioned fuck Activision?
Nuke the company into the ground.